Welcome to the Father State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can become a member of the FatherState.tv, and that way you can support us right there on the YouTube channel there. Become a member and on locals.com. And I do appreciate it. And a quick reminder, check out Punchy's Coffee. Good. I have my own coffee. And it's amazing. I wonder if I pick my own coffee down there on that plantation. You'll find out once you taste it. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. jesseleepeterson.shop. Good. I have with me Evan Rogest.
Yes, Evan Rogest. That's my name.
Rogest. He is a Christian YouTuber and a content creator. Evan, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, I pleasure to be on. Like Jesse said, I'm a proud Christian, and I make videos that are just trying to reach my generation and just proclaim Jesus Christ to the whole world.
You are a Generation Z, right?
Yes, I'm Gen Z. Yes. Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, happy White History Month.
Hey.
Did you know that July is White History Month?
I did not, no.
Really?
I don't really follow politics or...
Oh, you don't?
Much anything. Yeah, I used to when I was younger, but I found that it really... It's important, but a lot of it distracts from my relationship with God and me building my YouTube channel. And I find that it's better for me to focus on... just more uplifting things, just for me personally.
Oh, okay. And so we've been celebrating White History Month for 8 years. This is our 8th year. Do you love white people?
I do, yes.
So we gotta keep reminding people that if it wasn't for white men finding and creating the greatest country on the world, there would be no America. Am I right about that or wrong?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I was just in Boston filming a video there and seeing, you know, Paul Revere's statue and seeing all the ancient buildings. It's incredible what we have here in America. And I feel so incredibly blessed to be here. I love it so much.
Right on. What's important to you?
Just in general or anything specifically?
Yeah. What's important to you?
Yeah, you know, I think what's important to me is, it sounds cliche, but just Jesus Christ. I mean, we as Christians have the special situation where you have God becoming man because he loved us so much and he died on the cross for our sins. And I think that we live in a post-Christian era where people, they hear that and they think it's like a cliche. They think it's like some like nursery rhyme that we tell the people. But people died for that. You know, you have all the, you know, the great martyrs, the great holy men and women throughout history who are Christian, you know, who built America. You know, most of them are Christian.
That's right.
And I think that my mission really is just to, how many people can be reached throughout the entire world by just proclaiming the gospel and just showing people how cool it is to be Christian and how much we have to be proud of.
Generation Z don't seem to be interested in God. Or am I missing something?
I made a video about this. So in the past 5 years, there has been an explosion in Christianity among Gen Z. In 2019, something like 47% of Gen Z believed in Jesus Christ. And now that number is like 63%.
Right on.
And among men, it's increased the most. Yeah.
Amongst men? Did you say amongst men it increased the most?
Yes. Especially among men. I would say as a whole, while there are Gen Z that are not Christian or religious, I would say even just personally speaking, so many of my friends are interested in Christianity, and they might have atheist parents, there has been this really cool shift to see in the culture, and I hope to be helping that movement.
And why Generation Z interested in God? Why the numbers gone up like that?
Dude, I think we're just so sick of all of the, forgive me, but for all the crap we see out there in the world. We are so sick of the fake and the repetitive and the corporations. We want something real. And so, you have this world where, we are suffering from the, I'm sorry, the lukewarm Christianity of our parents and our grandparents who failed to proclaim Christ and to live out a Christ-centered world, where you have mass divorces, you have just mass hysteria, and you have a culture that is disintegrating. And we see Jesus Christ and Christianity as our way forward.
Right on. And how long have you been a Christian?
I've been a Christian my whole life. My parents are both Christian,
Oh,
so.
okay. And you said that. Oh, so let me ask, do you have perfect peace?
I wouldn't say perfect. I am satisfied. I'm content with my life, but I do have stresses day to day, for sure. Yeah.
And so do you said no, you don't have perfect peace?
No, not perfect. I have peace, but not perfect
And
peace.
why not perfect peace?
Dude, honestly, life is an adventure. Life has in a day, we'll be like, we're so cooked, we're so back constantly throughout the day. But what consoles me is that I'm just like, well, if I die tonight, at least I can die knowing that I tried to serve Jesus Christ the best I can and that there's something on the other side of this planet.
And so you've been a Christian all of your life, right?
Yes.
So that
Yes.
means that you've never been a sinner?
I've definitely, dude, let me,
But if you've
dude.
been a Christian all your life, when will you have been a sinner if you've been a Christian all your life?
I think, like, I've definitely gone through periods where I feel stronger in my faith and then periods where I feel weaker in my faith. I mean, especially like early high school. Before the pandemic, it was just like I would say, yeah, I'm Christian, but then like around like my friends, I would just not be fully Christian. I would hide what I believed or I would be scared. And I think that after the pandemic, I've just become more inspired to be Christian and more just kind of like I don't care anymore. Like I
Right
just
on.
don't I don't you know.
Nice. And so, do you have anger?
Yes. I think anger, yes, for sure.
And you think anger what?
Well, I get angry at myself a lot of times because I feel like I'm not doing enough or I'm being too selfish or too egotistical. I would say it's basically usually just like a constant battle of myself, constantly battling, my own sin and my own
Right.
thoughts in my head. Yeah.
And when you say you're not doing enough, you're not doing enough what?
I just want to devote my life entirely to Christ and, serving his kingdom. And I just feel like sometimes I'm just not, maximizing my time or doing the most effective things, and that brings me that just that it just frustrates me because there is limited time in the day, and sometimes I just mess up with my time.
Oh,
Yeah.
I see. And so,
Yeah.
what would happen if you drop your anger and you had no anger at all ever again? What would happen?
I would just be chilling. I would just be so happy. I would be, just out and about in the world and just with no urge to strive or do anything. You know, it's funny because my priest told me once that, you know, you trying to go onto the world and do these things, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice from the true gift of prayer, you know, of staying in prayer and just meditating on God's word. And so ultimately, you know, what we're doing when we're out in the world and we're out in this complicated, sinful, messy world is that we're sacrificing our own inner peace, but it's for the greater good, you know?
Why don't you drop your anger so you can be free? Why not live angry free?
Because honestly, I just have sins that attack me, and it's hard for me to, I pray about it constantly, but it just always pops up.
If you knew how to overcome anger, if you knew how to drop it, would you do it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And
Yeah.
do you want to drop it?
Yes, 1,000%.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. But let me ask, should Christians be involved in politics?
Ooh. Yes, of course. You know, we need Christians out in the world. 1,000%.
And but you're not involved in politics. You said, is it because you don't have time or taken away from what? Why are you not
Well,
involved?
we have lots of great people doing great things in politics, but I think that there are fewer evangelists, people who are just out there
Oh, okay.
evangelizing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Amazing. And did you vote for the Great White Hope?
What is that?
You don't know who the Great White Hope is?
No, I have no idea, Jesse.
Well, you're really not involved in politics. Some people call him King.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
He has been called Daddy before. Some people call him Daddy.
I don't know, Jesse. I don't know.
He has been recommended for a what's that award thing called? A Nobel Prize, Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Award. And
I honestly, Jesse, I don't know who you're talking about. I have no idea.
Donald Trump, man, who else?
Oh, Donald, hey, I didn't know you're saying the Peace Prize. I'm just like, I don't know.
Are you familiar with Donald Trump?
Oh yeah, of
Do
course.
you know the
Yes.
amazing work he's doing?
Yes, he is fighting for America, and he is trying to do his best. I would say overall that, you know, a country with Donald Trump is better than it was with Joe Biden, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he is called the Great White Hope. They call him King. They've been having rallies over around the country to worship the King, Donald Trump. And some people say they don't like the King, but they still call him King.
Gotcha.
And they call him Daddy. Amazing guy. Do you like the fact that he's rounding up the illegal aliens and sending them back to their countries?
You know, I hate to give such a wishy-washy answer, but I honestly don't know enough about that situation to
Okay.
really commentate on it. I wish I knew, I just don't know.
Okay. Are you more conservative or liberal?
I would say, you know, the thing is about being a Christian is that sometimes you don't neatly fit into these categories, but
Right.
I would say as a
Yeah.
whole, probably more Christian, I mean conservative, more
Right
Christian, more
on.
conservative and liberal.
Amazing. Nice. Do you believe racism exists?
Yes.
And why do you believe that?
Well, you know, some people are just, you know, I've seen it firsthand in my life. Some people are treated differently because of their skin color.
You have seen that?
Yes. I have friends and family members that have experienced it, and
Are you white?
I'm partly white. My last name is Ragus, which is German.
So what does that mean? So you part white and part what?
Yes, part Hispanic. My mom is Mexican.
Really? So you part white and part Hispanic? That's amazing.
Cool. I love when you say, "That's amazing." It's so cool.
Because you look white, but you kind of look like you can be mixed with something.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I get that a lot for sure.
And so you have seen people discriminate against white people? Are you saying that's what you've seen?
I've seen a bit of everything. I grew up in Las Vegas, which is a very multiracial place.
Right.
My high school was so diverse. It was like 20% white, 20% Asian, 40% Mexican, and then like another 20% of like all these different countries.
Right.
I've seen racism in all different strokes and spectrums, and it's unfortunate.
What does racism look like? Give me an example. I don't know what it looked like.
So like an example. This sounds so compared to like it might sound very simple, but I just saw people who were racist at school that just like didn't like people of a certain race, and would
So give me
just
an
make
example. You saw what race, not liking what race? Which race?
Well, I would see, I would say I would see people that were, sorry, it's kind of, you're kind of like walking me back through memory lane to kind of think about this. It's not like insane, like it's not incredibly common, at least what I've experienced,
Right.
but definitely I would say people that were either, I saw people that were, Mexican that were racist towards black people, and then I've also seen like black people who are racist towards white people, and it's just just is what it is.
Oh, okay. God said that our battle is a spiritual battle. It's a warfare between good and evil, right versus wrong. And that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and evil. And he called it evil. He called it a spiritual battle. Why do you, as a Christian, call it racism instead of good versus evil?
Well, that's a good question. I guess you're right. A lot of things could be boiled down between good and evil. I honestly, I guess you're the point of what you're trying, if I think what you're trying to get at is that rather than calling it racism, we should call it good or bad, good or evil.
Right.
And I think that's a fair way to put it. I think at the heart of it all, it's people being treated unfairly for things that they can't control. And I think that is always bad. Nobody likes that.
And so why not call it either good or evil rather than racism? Because the word racism is made up. There's no such thing as racism. It's a spiritual battle, right versus wrong. And so that's they made up that word because they knew that you can never prove if a person's racism or not because it doesn't exist. And so they use that to manipulate people to get money and power. Why do you call it the same thing that the children of the lie call it? Why not call it what it is, good versus evil?
No, that's totally fair, and I'll keep that in mind for the future.
Oh, nice. Which is easier for you to believe, that you are a sinner, or all your sins have been wiped away?
Ooh, which is easier to believe that I'm a sinner?
Which one is easier for you to believe, that you are a sinner, or all your sins have been wiped away?
Probably that I'm a sinner. Like that's because I can just see in the day to day how like even when I'm trying to do good, I'll do bad. Even when it's always irrational. It's like I'm jealous at my friend for Like my friends will like talk with them, and I'm like, why are they talking to him first and not me? You know, it's just always like things, you know? So I would think for sure, definitely that's easier to see that I'm a sinner.
And so you don't believe that all your sins have been wiped away?
No, I 1,000% believe that. But you asked which one was easier.
Oh, I
It's
see. So
much easier. You can go.
it much easier what? Go ahead.
Dude, well, just to see that I'm a sinner, and then that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I have faith that that happened. I believe that happened, but I like didn't see it in the flesh, and that's why we have faith, you know, to bridge that gap.
But Jesus said that all your sins have been wiped away. And so he doesn't call you sinner, nor does he call you a saint. And if you believe in Jesus, why don't you believe what he said?
No, you're totally right. I mean, you asked me which one was easier, and I
I
said
got
easier to
you.
see, commit sins. I agree with both wholeheartedly.
And what is sin?
Sin is, ooh, I don't know the precise, theology term for it, but sin, I would say, is, you know, anything that. Probably simply put, anything that harms someone else or well, it's either because it's like the two greatest commandments are loving God and loving your neighbor. So
Right.
it's not loving your God or not loving your neighbor. And there's a whole, you know, different ways that that can manifest. But yeah.
God said, and his son says, sin is of the heart. Anyone that has anger is evil. And that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that you must forgive. And if you don't forgive, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. And so salvation is of the heart. Why don't you get rid of the anger of your heart so that God can give you his heart and bring you into the kingdom of heaven while you're living?
Like why am I not doing that?
Yes.
Well, I do that, but it's always a constant struggle on the day to day.
Oh,
You know, I can
okay.
do that rationally 1,000%, but it's still just life happens, you know?
If you were to go and forgive your mother, who have recreated you in her image and turned you away from your earthly father, if you forgive her for imposing her will on you and recreating your image, you have her mindset and emotion because she turned you away from your earthly father. If you forgive her and forgive your father for not protecting you from her, he loved you. He just didn't know how to deal with her. He ended up marrying his mother, woman, because all men hate women. They end up dating and marrying a woman just like their mothers, and the cycle repeats itself. If you were to go and forgive her, God will forgive you. They both couldn't help themselves, your father and your mother. Then God will forgive you, and he would change your heart from anger to perfect love. Have you ever considered forgiving your mother for what she's done to you?
Wow, dang. We kind of switched gears a little bit. I mean, you know, parents aren't perfect, you know,
Right.
they make mistakes.
Yes.
And I think forgiveness comes from understanding, knowing
Yes.
that you know, our parents, my parents are both Christian, but they both made mistakes. And then also like their parents made mistakes and their parents.
Absolutely. Your
And there's a
mother
lot
done
of
to
like
you what her mother done to her, and her mother done
exactly.
to her what she done to. So have you ever considered going and forgiving your mother for what she's done to you?
Yes, I 1,000% have.
Why
I
haven't
don't
you
hold
done it? Why haven't you done it?
Why have I?
Why haven't you?
No, I have. I have.
Oh, you went to your mother and told her you were sorry for, resented her for screwing up your life? And
I have.
what did
I
she say
have.
when you told her you were sorry for, resented her for messing up your life?
What did I tell her?
What did she say when you told her that?
It was a very, you know, powerful experience, and it's kind of just like you just it lets go. It's like a weight being lifted off your back. You know,
Did
I don't.
she apologize or she blamed someone else?
My mom apologized. My mom will. I am so incredibly grateful. I love my parents so much, especially my mom. My mom says like similar things to what you're saying. You know, she's like, you know, I feel like whenever I get, you know, do wrong to you and your siblings, it's because I'm repeating the mistakes of my parents.
Yeah.
And basically, like my parents, they basically raised me and my siblings to be like, you know, how do we break these generational curses?
Right on.
You know, start a new generation and, you know, right the wrongs that were done in the past and start afresh. And so, yeah.
You are, who are you closer to, your father or your mother?
Probably my mom, but I love both of them and I talk to them frequently.
Oh, okay, amazing. And so, okay, so you have a good relationship with your father as well?
Yeah. It's funny because I moved from Vegas to Dallas by myself, so I don't really talk to him as much, but
Right
we
on.
catch up every once in a while and
Alpha
we catch
male.
what was that?
Alpha male.
What does that mean?
You moved out and you're on your own.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Alpha male, not a beta, but an alpha.
Yeah, not a beta. Amazing.
Amazing. That's cool, man. What is it? How old are you?
I'm 20.
What is it like being out on your own at tw how long have you been on your own?
I've been out on my own for 5 months now.
What is it like being out on your own?
Dude, it's like what I said earlier. It's an adventure.
Right
It
on.
is. Life is this crazy adventure, and sometimes it's like scary, and sometimes it's really exciting, but it's like it's all part of the adventure, you know?
Right on, man. And speaking of Dallas, there was a rainstorm in Texas there,
Yes.
and up to 100 people were dead. I heard. What do you think about
Yeah.
all that? How's that going in Texas right
Oh
now?
my gosh, dude, it's so heartbreaking. So I'm in Dallas, and so that was more like in Central Texas.
Right.
It is so incredibly sad. And it was like, I think it washed through, like, I'm not too familiar with the specifics, but I think it
Right.
washed through like a church camp or something.
Yes.
And so it's just so tragic. I mean, just think you're at church camp, you know, you're worshiping the Lord,
Yeah.
you don't have a care in the world. And then it's just like, it's just so sad. So sad.
I
We
thought
pray for
about
them.
that too. You imagine you're going to a church campus celebration or whatever I'm doing, and you're up there praising the Lord and praying and a storm come like that and just wipe you out like that. That's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, it just, I think one thing I like to really, you know, if there's anything to be taken away that might be like just thing to think about is that it just shows like, might sound cliche, but nothing in life should be taken for granted. I mean, we
Yeah.
could literally tomorrow gone.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like, it's a good thing to think about. Like if you ended in the next hour, would you be proud with what you've done and how everything has happened, you know?
Right on. Amazing. You're on your video stream, you go around and you interview different, well, you don't interview them, but you deal with the situation at different churches, right?
Yes.
Tell the people what exactly what you do and why you do it.
Yes, so I make videos where basically, you know, Christ's commandment to the apostles was go forth to all nations and preach the gospel. And so my channel is basically just that exactly. Let's go out into the world. Let's preach the gospel. You know, I'll take my atheist friends to a bunch of Christian churches for the first time,
Yeah.
you know, talk them about their experience. Or I recently filmed one where I went to every Christian denomination's church and I just talked about what I learned from each one. And I would say the biggest thing that I think about is first, I think that in the Christian church, there's a lot of disunity and a lot of, you know, a lot of arguments that there's a lot of hatred between different denominations, a lot of misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So my hope is to kind of bridge those different, you know, denominations and different backgrounds. And then the second thing is like, how do I just be a good witness to me, and, you know, and my 68,000 subscribers and the people who watch my videos? It's like, how do I just be a Christian? You know, and it's like being a Christian is being honest with someone, but it's also like just being joyful. You know, I think that sometimes people, they get scared of like being witnesses to Christ. You know, I don't want to say I'm Christian to my friends, my family. But honestly, something as simple as just being happy and being joyful and asking someone how their day is, like these things are so simple, but all Christians can do that. And because like, it's like, sorry, but one thing I like to think about is that it's like, you know, if you could give someone $10 million, you know, and you just had to like tell them about it, everyone would tell everyone about it. And it's the same thing with like Jesus Christ. Like we have eternal life, like greater than $10 million, greater than all the money in the world.
Yeah.
And so we should be telling that to everybody, you know, and that's kind of like the spirit of my channel.
Right on. And when you say you want to bridge together all these different religions, how do you plan to do that? How is that possible?
Yeah, well, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, for example, my Christian denominations video, where I don't straw man or unfairly represent any denomination. I actively study all different denominations. You know, I'm reading Gavin Ortland. I'm watching Trent Horn. You know, I'm listening to Orthodox apologetics. You know, I'm even like listening, I'm talking with like other religions, you know, their leaders. And I just want to understand where they're coming from. And just because I think that by knowing different groups and different beliefs,
right,
we can strengthen our own beliefs. And then also when it comes to actually talking to these people, I can be like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Here's where we meet in the middle, you know?
Should a Christian be rich?
Ooh. A Christian, I would kind of, a Christian can be rich for sure. Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with being rich and a Christian.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible says that the root of all evil isn't money. The root of all evil is the love of money.
Right.
And so it's just a cautionary tale to any Christian or any person, period. Just be careful if you're making money your master or your servant. You know, you got to be careful.
A lot of Christians, well, not a lot, some pastors own jet planes. I saw you interview a couple of those who own airplane,
yes,
their private jet. Is that,
yes,
wrong to own for a pastor or preacher to own a private jet?
You know, see, I just went to Joel Osteen's church. It's going to be an upcoming video. You
okay.
know, he's like worth $100 million, he's got a private jet. I think that it is like, I'm going to be for real, like off rip. It's a little bit strange that someone who is a pastor has a lot of money. You know, I don't know any of these guys personally. I don't know how their faith lives are. Their
right.
churches, you know, like when I went to Kenneth Copeland's church, it was like, you know, we've housed all these veterans, you know, we've helped all these people who are in poverty. We've fed all these different homeless shelters, but it just seems a little bit weird to me. I don't know. It just seems weird for someone to be almost like flaunting their wealth sometimes. I mean, there was this one pastor of Kenneth Copeland where basically he said, if Jesus was alive today, he would have rode into Jerusalem on a Mercedes Benz. It's like, you're kind of like missing the point of like the whole thing. So I think that is what I'm very concerned about. And I think that the principle is that some people, they take Jesus and they make it a self-improvement religion. They make it like, they make it all nice and like, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be rich. But they don't talk about like the sacrifice part of Christianity or like the disciplines or like, you know, the fact that Jesus says the closer we get to him, he says that we'll be more persecuted, which is like, that's crazy, crazy to think about, you know?
Right. Should Christians feed the hungry?
Oh, yeah. For sure, for sure.
And why?
Because we have a moral obligation to help people in our lives that are doing worse than us. Because it's like one thing I like to think about, if not us, then who? You know? If not us, then who's gonna do that? And if everyone thought, oh, someone else would do that, oh, they'll figure it out, then it's just like we're not solving the problem, you know?
But I noticed that when you feed the hunger or hungry people, they get worse. They don't get better. They become selfish. They become lazy. They become dependent. They become criminals. They become expecting. And they don't do for themselves. If feeding the hungry is the right thing to do, why do the hungry people get worse instead of getting better?
You know, that's a fair concern. So I do homeless ministry every week, and it's with this organization called Project Finding Calcutta, where basically we do give out some food and snacks, but we just talk to people on the streets. Because it's kind of like one way to look at what you're talking about is that a lot of people who are homeless, their problems are not of like food or shelter. There's lots of shelters out there, you know, there's no shortage of them. But a lot of their situations stem from the fact that they don't feel loved. They have mental situations in their mind, and they honestly, a lot of them just need someone to talk to. And so that's what we do every single week, is that we go on to downtown Dallas, and we disciple different people, and we just talk to them. We just talk to them like I'm talking to you know?
And so, did Jesus feed the hungry?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't believe he did.
And so, where does this idea come from that we should feed the hungry?
Well, I honestly don't really know. I don't know.
Another thing I know about the hungry people is that the government, and you're right, there are a lot of homeless shelters and places for these folks to go. And then now the government feed them. I mean, money and food and everything. And they have only gotten worse. And then they will go on your property, they'll destroy your property, all kind of stuff. And so it's a horrible mistake to feed these people. What they need is not physical food. But they need spiritual food. They need to be pointed back to God
For
instead of
sure.
feeding them physical food.
For sure. Yeah, well, you know, there's something. Yeah, no, I see where you're coming from, and I think that's something that we as Christians should totally think about.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, because it's like, because you're so right. I mean, I literally, because I talked to, you know, I've been doing it for several months now, and they have, you know, shelters, they have food. It's not that what they're lacking. They're lacking something more. I think another thing to add on is that I think that many or some homeless people suffer from, you know, mental situations in their mind, you know, and they could be going to, you know, rehabilitation centers, you know, some way to kind of address these situations. But we have a bureaucracy in the government that makes things like solutions like that are just like so obvious, just difficult to implement.
Because they don't want to heal the people. They want to use the people for personal gain, to gain money and wealth. I'm going to run for governor. I feed the hunger. I'm going to build shelters for the hungry people. And that's for personal gain. They don't care about the people at all. It's about themselves. And
It's
so they want
unfortunate.
their people to be on the streets. They want
It's
them to
unfortunate.
be vandalizing people's property. And they want the confusion so that they can gain money and power. It's all about that. They don't care about the people.
Yeah, there is unfortunately, you know, situations like that for sure.
Do you believe in God over Christ, Christ over man, and man over woman?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
The order of God. Have you ever heard of the order of God?
Oh, no, I haven't.
God in Christ, right? Christ over man, Christ in man, and man over woman. Do you believe in that order of God?
Is like the principle of what you're trying to say, that, you know, in Genesis, when God creates Eve out of Adam, he wants her to be a partner for Adam
God is over the Son, Jesus, and Jesus over man, and man over woman. Do you believe in that order?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm certain about it.
Well, I didn't understand it at first, but I agree, yeah.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
They were created to serve man.
So what does that mean, that they were created to follow?
Yeah, created to follow, yeah.
And when you say serve man, what do you mean by that? For those who don't understand.
Yes. So I think that sometimes people can think that Christians, you know, are being weird about this, but basically it's pretty simple. And I think that it's basically just, you know, just like Christ, you know, loved the church, but you have to obey, you know, and you have to serve, one side. It can't be, you know, I guess another way to look at it is that, like, you know, you have a good family, you have a good, strong father who leads the household. And then you have a mother who with love listens and obeys the father. And, you know, that doesn't mean that, like, the mother can never say anything or never, like, but it's just basically like you have a father who you defer to. And it just helps have happier families. You know, it just makes everything better, and it just makes everything more calm.
So when you were growing up at home, did your mother obey your father?
No, my parents are divorced.
Oh, they are?
Yes, they're divorced. Yes, it's very unfortunate.
So you were not raised with your father?
No, I had. We would go from house to house. It was split custody. Yeah.
Amazing. So do you ever plan to get married?
Yes, I 100% want to get married and have children.
But it's hard to find women in your generation that would mate for a good wife or a mother.
It can be hard. Yeah.
Do you believe that an educated woman would make for a good wife and a mother? Would an educated woman make for a good wife and a mother? A good mother.
You know, I grew up in the public school system. I don't want my kids to go in the public school system. Yeah. It was horrible. It was so bad. I would like for my wife, if I'm financially able, that's why I gotta like go hardcore in the, you know, be able to make enough money to do this. Right. But I would want her to homeschool my children. And so, you know, that likely means she would need to have a college degree. She doesn't have to, of course, but, you know, that would be ideal. I don't have anything against it. And then also, whenever the kids are, you know, out of the house and they're all grown up, then she can have a degree and she can pick up some work because, you know, when you're older, it can be a little bit boring sometimes. I don't know how else to put it. So she could, you know, find work like that. Yeah.
Amazing. And so are you dating?
I am dating. Yes.
You're dating. Oh, yeah. What's that like for you?
You know how it is, Jesse. You know, being a young 20-something year old in Dallas, Texas. You know, I will say this. I am not in no rush.
Right on.
There are girls that I'm talking to, but it's kind of like once I find the one, I'll know. And then just be like one of those things where, you know, ideally we'd get married within a year. And then it's like, you know, we're just because I want like a life partner. I want someone who's going to go with me on this crazy adventure of life and, you know, who, I want someone who loves Jesus more than she loves me. Someone who has a
Right
great
on.
relationship with God, and that is what I'm striving for. So I'm in no rush whatsoever for that, but there are
Good.
girls I'm talking to,
Yeah,
yes.
take your time. Would you ever follow a woman?
Probably not. I don't think most girls really want that either.
They
They don't
don't.
want, as you say, beta males.
That's right. What Amazing, man. One other quick question about a preacher owning an airplane, a private jet. Did you say that it's okay for a preacher to own a private jet, or they should not own a private jet?
It just feels weird. It just feels weird to me for them, because I come from a world, where it's like the pastor is like usually the poorest person, of the entire, or like, priests that literally take a vow of simplicity. They can't live on more than like 40K a year. And it
Right.
just feels weird sometimes to see like a pastor was like a private jet and mansion. It's like, what is happening, guys?
Are you Catholic?
I am Catholic,
Oh,
yes.
that's why you mentioned a priest.
Yes.
Amazing. Is that because of the Mexican side of you?
No. My dad, he grew up Mormon and became like
Really?
non-denominational Christian, like Calvary Chapel. And then my mom, she grew up Jehovah's Witness. And
Whoa.
yeah, I know, right? And then she became like non-denominational Christian, attends a Pentecostal church. I actually grew up in a family, like I had no idea what a Catholic was
Right.
until I was like in high school. And then when I did say to my parents, "Hey, I'm thinking about Catholicism," they were like, "Evan, Catholics are crazy. Catholics worship Mary. The Pope is the anti." I was like, "Whoa, where did this come from?" I'm just saying, guys. I thought it was interesting. So that's where I'm at.
Habla español. Sí.
Poquito.
Mamma mia. Amazing. I've noticed that the last two pope and maybe the ones before that are liberal. They tend to go for abortion, and they are not conservative. What do you think about that?
I think that is unfortunate. I mean, you know how the news is. The news will they'll try to divide people, and
Right.
they'll take sound bites, and they'll try to paint a picture that might not really be there.
Yeah.
I mean, Pope Francis was again, these words conservative and liberal are kind of like not perfect, but he was a conservative pope. I mean, there was one time where like a CNN reporter was talking to him, and the CNN reporter was like, "So Pope Francis, like, when are you gonna have female deacons?" He was like, "That's never gonna happen. What are you talking about?" He just like slapped it away.
Right
The thing is that sometimes just things can be taken out of context. But what I like about Catholicism is that we have very firm stances on all these issues. And so even as the world might say, it feels like the world flip-flops every single like year. Like either this issue is good, this issue is bad. But what I love about Catholicism is that we're like, yeah, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad.
Right
And
on.
we have mechanisms to prevent things from changing.
And do you support, where do you stand when it comes to abortion?
Yeah, I don't like abortion. I wish it literally breaks my heart to hear about it. We should pray for anybody who is going through that or is
Yeah.
thinking about that, and I pray for an end to that,
You mentioned before, and I got to put you on the hot seat, but you mentioned before that you have heard about my show before now when you were a teenager, right?
Yes.
And what were your impression of the show when you were a teenager?
What was I watching on the show?
What was your impression of it?
I thought it was amazing. I'm just,
Right on.
I thought it was cool, and just like another content creator. I don't know. I'm not like a super fan or anything, but like I remember like hearing about your show and like popping in and watching an episode here or there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wondered if you agreed or disagreed on some things and stuff like that. So I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay, again. All right,
I need
twice.
you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay, cool.
Oh, before the hot seat, let me ask, do you, this is not the hot seat question, but do you create your own thoughts?
Is this going to be one of those like Jesse Lee Peterson tangents where it's like I have thoughts that appear. I don't know where they come from, Jesse.
And so, do you create them?
No, they just appear. I don't know. I don't know
Right
how
on.
they appear.
Nice. I got to put you on the hot seat, so I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible, all right?
Okay.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
A man is a guy. I don't want to be explicit, just a man with a male private parts that was born a man and has like XY chromosomes, I think. I think that's what it is. I don't know. Just like biologically male. Yeah.
Did you take the jab?
No, I didn't. I didn't take. Are you talking about the COVID vaccine?
Yes.
No, I didn't take the vaccine.
Should we make dual citizenship illegal?
I don't really know. I don't really know too much about dual citizenship.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
Ooh, that's crazy, Jesse. You're gonna get me in trouble for this one. I think. Well, you said true or false. If she's crying, she's lying.
When she's crying, she's lying.
You know, it's not always true, of course, but I think that as men, we have to be more like critical. I think it's true. I think it's true. You never know. You never know.
Would you ever tell a woman she's fat?
No, never.
Amazing.
It's
Is the earth flat or round?
is round.
What is love?
Love is willing the good of another.
Does a chicken have lips?
No, it doesn't have lips. It has a beak.
Have you ever tasted something that was so good it made you want to slap your mama?
Oh, no, I would never slap my mom.
Do we need white babies?
yes, we need all babies. We need more babies. We need people to have more babies. There is a fertility crisis.
Does a fish know he's in the water?
No.
Was it ever a mistake to give the woman a right to vote? Was it a mistake to give the woman a right to vote?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Amazing. And I asked you what was love, right?
Yeah, willing the good of another.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Amazing. Does the bear shit in the woods?
Does the bear, yes, it does.
Did you have fun?
I did have fun, yes.
That was amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. So listen, I watched some of your work and I really like your work.
Yeah, thank you.
I really do. I like the effort that you put into it. I like the conversations you be having with different people
Yes.
and the energy behind it. And I really like the way you put your videos together. You really do a professional job with that. And I want to
Thank you.
encourage you to keep it up. Don't stop. And tell the folks how to get to your website, your YouTube channel, whatever you want to put out there.
Yes. So my name, it's just my name, Evan Raugus. So E-V-A-N and then R and then August. And so that's my website, you know, evanraugus.net. And then my YouTube channel is the same. And yeah, please pray for me. Pray for me to have wisdom as I continue to navigate, you know, wherever God wants me to go.
Amazing. Well, you really are doing some amazing work. I enjoyed your video. My producer told me about it. I started watching them. I was like, wow, this is very interesting. So, and especially when you go around and interview these different churches or you report on the churches, and then you have your atheist friends to go and then you get feedback from them. That's amazing. Keep it up.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, man.
Amazing. Thank you, man, for coming on. I do appreciate it. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget that you can become a member of The Fallen State by going to thefallenstate.tv right there on YouTube and become a member to support our work at locals.com. Check out Punchy's Coffee, JesseLeePeterson.shop, all of our merch. I do appreciate it. Let us hear from you. Thank you again, man. I really enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Peace out, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Bye.
Amazing.